welcome from slightly rainy San Francisco. This is Wizards of the Cast, episode 51. In a room filled with planeswalkers who are soon on their way to Vegas in 1 week, we have Evan Wardell.
Hello.
We got Larry Chatfield.
Howdy.
And myself, Cole Ferriola. 1 week, boys. Episode 51. 1 week out. I feel like things are aligning for us.
Those are both numbers and times that are relevant to the lives we live. I'm looking at deck lists right now. If you could,
he's preparing for you guys at home on the show. It's all good.
We came out of perhaps you should have prepared when you actually went to the event.
Look, I got home and fell asleep. Wait.
Yes, very good. Evan, you had a kind of a rough weekend, right? I mean, we played
We're just gonna
we're doing it right now. We're going.
Throw him under the bus.
So cool. I heard you got a divorce recently.
How's that working out?
It's raining outside.
Your children still don't want to see you? Yes, I did get my ass kicked all weekend. Thank you for asking.
Do we want to start on Friday? We want to go back to F&M, or we want to jump
just,
into...
Just say he's in 04.
06.
In 04. 04
the
something.
Sixth thing, the sixth one was just like, not even... I didn't need to be there, but I was.
Yeah, so we started on Friday at the local F&M at Gamescape, which was a bunch of fun. We actually were all drafted in the same pod, which hasn't happened in a long time.
First mistake.
I ended up in a red-white deck. And I remember thinking that this deck was a C deck, maybe even C-. But I ended up in the finals and got hosed. Hosed in the finals. You guys got to see that. First game,
same guy beat me.
Yeah, first game, I came out swinging. I had basically my deck was a gotcha deck. It was I'm gonna steal some wins. That was all I was doing. The games I played were all super close. I was playing a red white deck.
You were the liberal media interviewing Sarah Palin.
That's right.
Gotcha.
I had Artful Teachings, the +2/+1, and the rebound on that.
Skywise
Teaching. I had two of them and a War Flare in my deck. I had exactly the kind of red-white deck, except a worse version, I think, of the red-white deck that you described, Larry, on last week's episode.
Yeah, well, that deck wasn't fair.
Yeah. My deck was kind of fair in that it didn't have a lot of power, but I stole some wins. I top-decked some Goblin Heel Cutters. I got there. I got to the finals. Game one, I smash him. Game two, it gets to turn five, and my deck loses, as it kept doing that night. And game three, he goes Explosive Vegetation into Sandstep Mastodon, make my 2/2 a 7/7, hit you, into Dragonlord Silumgar, take your guy, hit you again.
What?
And I'm like, okay, this is where the day ends for me.
And I was like, yeah, join the club.
That's right.
I'm like, I play my really big guy. And he's like, oh, I guess I'll play my Dragonlord Sumagar. I'm like, it's kind of bad. And then he's like, oh, and now I'll just play my Sandstep Mastodon and make my Suvalangar an 8, whatever. I'm like, how is your biggest guy or smallest guy getting a 3/5 flyer getting 5 counters? Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah, he got there with his deck. He had the top end bombs. The only thing I had was a Thunderbreak Regent, which I was super. It was foil. I was super happy about.
But what I actually lost to him was the way you lost game two, which I was playing a super aggressive red green deck.
Yeah,
and he's like, turn two, I'll play my Hand of Sulengar. Turn three, I'll play my Hand of Sulengar.
He had so many hands.
Turn four, I'll play my Ukud Cobra. Turn five, I'll play my Ukud Cobra. I'm like,
oh yeah. That guy's deck was sweet.
I don't know what to do against your four Death Touch guys.
This was the guy you played in the first round, right?
Yeah.
Because we played in the second
round.
Yeah,
we played in that.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I beat him handily one game when he didn't draw the Cobra, but like the other two games, he literally drew it both turn four and five, and it's just like, and I actually almost stole the win from him because I had Break Through the Line, and I didn't have enough red sources.
Ugh.
So that's why I was actually saying to you before the podcast that I think my deck might have been better if I actually had just – I actually could have gone mono red instead of green.
You could have made his Ukud Cobras unblockable.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting thought. So you thought you had enough playables. You had 23 playable red cards.
Easily, yes.
And you were downstream of me, and I was playing red, too. So but
red's pretty deep, though. So
red is super deep. I thought red was kind of even overdrafted at our pool, and there were plenty of... I mean, you said you had 23 playables. You were only sitting two down. You were playing red. I was in red. I remember
my deck was sweet.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. I had a really good deck. I remember drafting. I was like, wow, this is really good.
What did you play?
Oh,
red, black.
Tell them about the card that you got passed, though.
Oh, a guy passed me a Monastery Mentor.
Monastery Mentor.
Ooh.
He was like, Merry Christmas. Like, you really don't want this? It's already in a Puka Traded branded envelope on its way to Germany.
Sweet.
Very good. So you were playing red-black. I was hedging in the red-black basically because I had an Akut Cobra early picked up. And then
you guys are both downstream from me.
I was downstream of you by a good few people.
I wouldn't even say I'm downstream. I mean, we were like sitting across from
you. Yeah. You guys were sitting across.
Oh, all that matters is whatever you guys were doing didn't matter to me the first pack.
You're in a different world than I was.
which was good for me. But all the cards you were taking, Larry, were the little rinky-dink creatures.
Yep.
I had a sort of a black-red mid-rangey.
Oh yeah, I remember removal. You were doing.
You had actually a lot of removal.
Yeah, it was just a shitload of removal and like solid creatures. That
you were playing like red-black control with like Silumgar Butchers.
It was like whatever.
It was like a red-black control deck because you had like Sultai Emissaries, Silumgar Butchers.
I may or may not have drawn my Breakthrough the Line both games against you.
Yeah,
with enough mana to activate.
That was pretty rough.
And it's. Not only is it just like kind of a busted card because you make all your shit unblockable, but you also get haste.
You give him haste. Yeah. I know. If you curve out with it, it's really good.
I remember there's some mistake I made against you in game in one of
the
games.
You should have. So you attacked me with something, and I blocked, and then you could have done your seismic rupture and killed it. And you're like, oh, I'm going to get value out of this because his whole thing is all bears.
What it was.
And then like I played like a 2/3.
Yeah,
and then I played like you know, like just, and then I was just using my mana like every single turn to like
I exploited my is it Typhoid Rats?
Yes.
Yeah,
I exploited my Typhoid Rats with a Voltress Aven instead of just slamming Seismic Rupture and like wiping your board.
Yep.
And then I forget what happened.
And then just a bunch of bears kept coming across. And
yeah, I guess you just blocked the Typhoid Rats, and then it was only going to be like a 1-for-1, and I tried to wait a couple turns like to maybe bait something out. But I don't know. I mean, it was like a small mistake. Like it wasn't like an obvious punt. It was like a small tactical
error.
Well,
I mean, my deck was literally all bears.
Yeah, and I knew that.
Looking at my mana curve, it was funny. I'm like, I'm building this whole thing, and I'm like, okay, so I've got 10 2-drops. And I was like, and so then I when I opened the pack that actually had Breakthrough Line, I'm like, oh, I am gonna go and be super greedy here, and I'm gonna, because I know nobody's gonna take this.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just gonna pass this along, and I know it'll come back. And I'm like, just like I did the previous week with the Warflare.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I took exactly the same thing both times. I'm like, Goblin Heel Cutter, and then the card comes back, and I'm like, sweet.
Well, I did with you. I did exactly what you did the week earlier. I opened the pack. I'm in red, white, and I'm like, "Here's the Warflare, but here's the Hero Cutter. Just gonna pass it around and get that Warflare back." I didn't even think I really needed the Warflare. The double Skywise teachings. That thing just slams the door on people.
That's
so
two Warflares.
It's two Warflares. Yeah, anyways. Yeah, it was funny. The red is super deep in this format. I mean, I think that's basically the bottom line.
Yeah, I think the guy who won is... I actually thought his deck was just kind of terrible, except for that he had, like, two Hand of Sulungar and two Akud Cobra. Like, really, that was his deck. And when he drew it, he just... You can't beat that
and
card.
Then, well, the thing is, he then also had two things to close out games with. Like, because you can draw Akud Cobra, you can play these Death Touchers, but then if you can't attack them, like, you might lose that game still. But he could do something like play. So
he played a whole game against me and he never drew any of those things, and he still just beat me because I could not like attack him. And
actually,
I played
that was
both
the same thing that happened to me in game two. Exactly, he didn't draw his bonds, but he just played on like manifested a couple things and just like got a double sized board presence on me.
Yeah,
and beat me that way.
Then he killed you with the. the volcanic rush.
No, he didn't kill me with that. I just drew the war flare and was just like, there's nothing I can do. I might as well just like suicide. He's like at 8. Maybe I'll suicide attack in and make some bad blocks. He didn't, and then he killed me. Okay. But
I actually, now that I'm thinking of it, the guy I lost to in the first round, I think he just piled Jeskai rune marks on creatures and hit me to death in the
air. Sometimes you just lose to that and it feels real, real bad.
And I was actually realizing when... those cards are really good right now. I mean, like, the only sort of point-and-click removal is, like, Reach of Shadows and...
No, I wouldn't say that they're really good right now. I would say that they're...
Well, I would, and I am, so okay. Shut the fuck
really?
Up.
I mean, but you have, like, flat.
Let me talk.
You flatten.
No, exactly, but it gives them +2/+2.
That's
so if you
true.
Put it on anything bigger than a bear, the only thing it's going to die to is Sarkhan's Rage.
Okay.
But then if it's a 3-3, it's not going to die to it.
Yeah.
Or if it's a 4-4 or something, it's going to die to a Sarkhan's Rage.
What was the limited GP? It was... Not Philadelphia, but Atlantic City.
Atlantic City with Alexander Haigh making the finals with that janky rune
with
mark.
With exact
deck.
Same thing.
Yeah,
he had
right.
two rune marks, and apparently they were saying that is like his draft strategy.
Is to do the rune marks?
So he drafts all these like bears and janky like 2/1s and all this stuff because all these people are trying to do all these like, you know, grandiose 5 and 6 mm-hmm. mana things, and he's just like boom, 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 right? And then he like does exactly what you said. He like drops like you know, he was playing like red white, and so he's like, oh look, you know, I'll just play like this red rune mark on my white dude, and it's like now it's a 5/3 like first strike or whatever.
Yeah,
you're like, what the fuck do you do against that?
Yeah, because I was realizing because I had like a flat in my deck, and Sarkhan's Rage, and all the times that he landed a rune mark on one of his creatures was too big for me to kill with either of those spells. I just had him stuck in my hand. I was like, I can't fucking kill this thing. Now it's got
that's
flying.
Super annoying.
I mean, like, you can still
well,
get
that's
blown
the best
out, obviously.
The blue
like
one is the best, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can still get blown out by, like, a, you know, a pacifism or an ultimate price, but... And there's not even a lot of bounce. Like, that's the other thing. Usually, like,
it's
a
like
bounce spell.
Sidisi's Faithful. But you're right. I mean, it's
yeah.
not. I mean,
yeah,
a whisk away.
Yeah, but I mean, you used to have like 3 whisk aways, right?
No,
or whatever. And
yeah,
so now
you're right.
You've got like 1.
Or like Voyage's
right?
End, or, you know, like mm-hmm. a cheap type of bounce spell that any blue deck would want to play.
Force Away, you had in cons.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a hard pill to swallow. Just getting beaten in by this stupid rune marks. Put like 2 rune marks on a creature.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I hate you so bad right now.
Oh, man. Well, I had a light form. My bad beats was I had a light form.
Oh, my God.
And I was playing one of the younger kids.
Graceblade Artisan. That's it. He was going in on Graceblade Artisan.
Oh.
I was like, you're playing Graceblade Artisan? And then
so it's like
then
a 2,
put a thing
3,
on it. And I'm like, well,
so
yeah, you got
set.
It. That's why I couldn't kill it because it got the additional
+2/+2.
So it's like a 6/9.
Yeah.
Right? So, no, it's a 2/3 and it gets 2/+2/+2. So it's +4/+4. So, yeah, it becomes a 6/7.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he plays another mark on it. And
your
it's like.
Flatten is totally dead.
Yeah. It was, it was terrible.
Yeah. That was awesome. Are you going to talk about your region?
Oh, yeah. So I was playing one of the younger kids who's in our draft table. Who like seems to have a really friendly relationship. I don't want to call it friendly with you, Evan, but he like clearly you are some type of mentor character to this kid, and
you
he
mean,
looks up to you.
No,
is that the one that wouldn't shut up?
There's a few of those there. But
oh
this,
my god!
But this young
I had
kid,
to drink my beer like this, because like that guy was so that little kid was so annoying.
Are you talking
me.
About the young man who's taking it upon himself to make my life a living hell? When I go to
yes,
but I
that
think
one.
He kind of looks up to you because he. Wants your opinion on a lot of things.
Oh my god!
But he, I was sitting there, and usually I'm not like I'm trying to be a very polite opponent at FNMs, and really, you know, take it upon myself to be an ambassador of the game. But this kid, every time I did a, like every time I played a land, he said after, "I'll allow it." After everything.
How many times did he say that's racist over the course of the night?
Oh, yeah.
Like 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he has like that banter with the other
yeah.
kids, and they just like push each other's buttons. And
that's okay,
that's
except
okay,
for that
I'm
when
right.
he's talking to him like across the room or
well,
across the entire store.
He's in another draft pod and they
yeah,
have to
exactly.
yell at each other. That gets annoying.
But
they
funny.
Also like getting a rise out of the rest of the drafters
oh, yeah.
and blah, blah, blah. They're like 10 or 11, I can't really blame him. But honestly, every time I play something, I'll allow it. And I understand maybe you got to, like, bolster your confidence playing against older players. But please, for the love of God, just shut up.
Like, I remember at one point during the draft, like, him and Eli were yelling at each other across the... across the
best
the
was
room.
When you...
And I was, and people would like try to chime in and be like, "Hey, can you guys stop?" And then they just like keep doing it like back at the other people. And eventually, everyone just realized like we just have to shut up and hope it'll stop.
Yeah,
and like you
them.
Could see everybody kind of cringe every time they like get into it. And I think at one point I looked around, and I was like, "I feel like I'm being held hostage right now."
You'll get like a little Stockholm syndrome. Yeah. But anyway, everything was I'll allow it. So game one, really close. Really
kids,
close.
You damn kids.
I pull out, I like... I
get off my lawn.
This is my aggressive deck, and I'm winning really? With my flipped up... what's the white Megamorph dragon with the lifelink?
Oh, the Shellhide.
Shellhide or whatever. That's how I win the game, and I was like at 5 life and beat him down
lifelink
from 25.
Dragon.
It's good. I mean, at the, it's if the Jeskai rune mark, the blue one, is the best of the rune mark, and that, those aren't that great, well, then the 7 mana Megamorph dragons aren't that great, and the best one's white. Let's just move on from there. But then game two, I think this was game two is when I lost, and I light formed. I had a light form in my deck, and I manifest the top card of my library, and I peek under it, and it's my Thunderbreak Regent.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Like, yeah. He untaps, douse, and glooms it. And I'm just like, no!
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 That's
of
rough.
Course. And I.
And not only was it a Thunderbreak Regent,
it was my foil.
It was foil. So I finally got to see the foily, like, regular one. Super cool, the purpley lightning.
Not only did he not take 2 damage, he gained 2 life.
That's right.
Or three life, lose 3 life.
He didn't get that trigger from targeting it. He also didn't take it. Also would have been a 4/4 lifelink,
flying lifelink.
So good.
Gross.
Oh, that was dirty. That was gross. I was like,
I think
he did
that was actually game three, because game one I remember I think I just ran it out on turn 4 and then bolstered 2 counters onto it, and then he finally dealt with it and then won that game.
Six kids.
But I beat him game three. It was super close. I really needed to beat him because I allow winning against that player.
I allow it.
I will not allow myself to lose. I'll allow it. You're going to get some of that at Vegas. I'll allow it. And then sometimes I'd blow him out and be like, I'll allow it. Nobody kept through with it.
That actually reminds me
play
of
planes. I'll allow it.
When I first got back into Magic and I didn't understand like the way sort of priority and stuff works. And so, you know, I'd be playing, and every time you play a card, your opponent's like, sure, okay. And at one point I'm thinking to myself, after like 3 rounds of this, I'm like, bitch, I don't need your permission. I'll play whatever the hell I want. Sure. Don't sure me. But then I'm like, oh, that just means he has no responses. But I didn't like realize that at first when I got back in. I was like, why are all these assholes like,
yeah,
gotta have an opinion when I play a card?
Yeah.
Or like when I started playing again really seriously, and I'm going along, and I'm like, damage on the stack, and the kid looks at me like,
who are you?
What? Like, oh, is that not a thing anywhere?
Oh, the first learning.
Remember the first time you saw Planeswalker again? You're like, what is that? What's happening here?
Oh, yeah. The first time I thought of Planeswalker. Well, honestly, the first time I saw that they moved Disenchant into green, I was like, this game's done. There's no Dark Ritual. What are you guys talking about?
they had Naturalize back in the day.
They had Disenchant in white, but Naturalize wasn't in green until like...
For a long time.
Yeah, for a long time.
They had Naturalize back, like Mercenian Masks.
No, that was Disenchant.
Well, they had like Tranquility. So
they
had
Tranquility. That was the whole thing. Like, green doesn't get targeted removal. It'll just blow everything up.
Yeah, it's like weird. Mother Nature hates you.
Yeah, it was like, if it's going to cleanse, it cleanses everything.
Yeah.
Shakes everything off its back. All those enchantments, just like fleas on the dog's hide.
I don't think I had much of a sense of the color pie when I was like in 8th grade. Yeah.
I feel like I always weirdly did. I always really was invested. I think this is why I like Cube, is that I was very always invested in kind of the gameplay around the cards, the metagame, as it were, and the color pie and things like that.
I was also... you know, next level terrible back then.
Well, it's funny because we remember...
Sacred Vampire was my favorite card.
That guy was really good then.
He likes Singer Vanguard.
I mean, like Mercedian Masks.
I like the Solteri Shadow Creatures. I was like, I'll play my Protection from Red 2/1 Shadow Creature, and then I'll play it again.
I think those were some of the best cards in the creatures in the game. Like some of the protection from black and the protection really from white guy.
And then you would have the core so that you could redirect damage, and so they'd be like, okay, I kill you guy, and you'd be like, I'm gonna redirect for zero mana, redirect one damage onto my protection from black, and then the black protection from black triggers from the black source and fizzles the damage, and then I'm gonna do it again, and then I'm gonna do it again, and my 2/2 is gonna eat your 3/2.
It's funny that you say this about how you like the nature of like the design of it, because just before you got here, Evan and I were watching the what is the actual name of that podcast? Is it Evan Irwin?
We're watching the Magic Show.
The Magic Show. Yeah. And so they're going through this thing, and those two are so completely different, right?
Oh, yeah.
One
Evan
is like total
Brad.
Like Timmy, and one is Spike, right? And so they're going along, and like kind of out of nowhere, Brad's like, I really hate Commander. He goes, sometimes I just want to kill this guy when he starts like going off with this combo. But then everybody else is like, no, wait, let his 20 triggers resolve and let him have his fun, let him do his thing. And he goes, this is why I don't play this game. And Evan looks at him and he goes, I really love when they do that. And it's like the obvious, like those two like completely like have absolutely disparate looks on like what Magic should be like, right? Like one is like super aggressive, competitive, and the other guy's like, I like the rainbows and butterflies.
Yeah.
I'm with Brad Nelson. I hate multiplayer.
Yeah.
That one time we played, what was it? Conspiracy. And I killed a guy and everyone got mad at me. I'm like, what? I could do it. So this game works.
Then everybody gagged.
I have a quick question though. Yeah. Which came first, 8th edition or Onslaught? I'm dumb.
Onslaught, I think, came first because 8th edition and 9th edition were
like 7th then Onslaught block.
Yeah, it was 7th and Onslaught block.
Onslaught was when Naturalize was printed. I was just looking up printings of Naturalize.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember that was around the time we were in high school.
It was around the time we were leaving the game. I remember I was using that and the fact that they were reprinting.
I just remember the magic club we had in high school.
Yeah.
That we started.
That was like your sophomore year, my freshman year.
Yeah. Before, girls.
Or boys.
Yes.
Well.
In the dark old days when, it was Mondays after school with Magic. And remember
all the librarians were really pissed.
They were hated us. Remember it wasn't Jacob Strifkoff. What was his name? Who net decked for the first time?
Oh, John Colley.
John Colley. He just, like, bought an awesome blue-white deck.
It was just like the broken affinity deck that had just won the Pro Tour.
Ugh.
And it just like
Arcbound Ravager Skullclap, and we were like, that's not fair.
Hey, that's not fair. You can't do that.
Hey, you can't go on the internet and just buy your deck. You gotta trade for this stuff. Like you gotta I remember the first time I got my playset of Wrath of Gods, it was like a holy moment for me. It was like I traded a Masticore and like 8 other rares, and I had one, and I finally gave like a stack of cards to Jacob Strikoff so I could get the other 3.
Yeah.
And I went on vacation immediately after, so I couldn't play with them. But I brought them on vacation and would like pull them out and look at them and then put them back in and be like
a porn
stash. Can't wait.
Longingly dreaming about
I remember Jacob had like a 99 card entirely enchantment deck that like you just couldn't beat him.
Oh yeah.
It was like some weird crazy. He was all about those like just weird crazy.
Now he was very much a Johnny because he was just like had
super
a huge
Johnny.
Card collection. I think that's what I always like. It's funny you say Brad Nelson was very Spike, and totally on that show, Brad Nelson is like the spikety spike player. He's going to tell you what's good. Evan is very much more, I would say, the Timmy, which is like who's going to sit there for everybody and wants to do really cool things in the game. And I think what's missing there is that kind of Johnny. And I always felt myself kind of in between where deck building and like theory crafting was always really an important part of the game to me, as well as like the lore and imagining the stuff. But also winning was big. And crushing people and
well it's winning with your cool thing.
Yes, that was big for me.
It's not like, oh, I beat you with my double siege rhino. It's like I did this really super cool thing and blah.
I do have to say, as fun as it is to just play siege rhinos on someone until they break, it's not quite as satisfying as it could be.
I mean, I guess you were playing Siege Rhinos, hopefully to break some people this past weekend.
I mean, I do like just seeing the joy like just drain out of someone's face. Like the second one, they're like, all right, yeah, whatever. I fucking two of them, fine. The third one, they're like, really? And then the fourth one, they cry. They break down.
they actually cry. Yeah, I can't even imagine playing three Siege Rhinos in a game.
I played...
like, in a game?
Oh, I did.
You did?
I got almost beat four Siege Rhinos.
Really?
Yeah,
I've played, like, two games where I played four Siege Rhinos, and it just, like, you feel bad. You're like, oh, this poor guy, he just has to sit here and deal with this.
Yikes. That's 12 points. Yeah. 12 points just on the triggers.
Well, I had my own Siege Rhinos, too, so.
24 points. Life swing. Yeah. Fantastic. But I did get my comeuppance this weekend where I played in a PBTQ at Versus.
Mm-hmm.
I played an Abzan Megamorph type of thing. I found a list that Sean McLaren had put up on Star City Games that I really liked. And
It wasn't Jeskai, I don't understand.
What?
Sean McLaren wasn't playing
No, it was
Jeskai?
Funny. He actually said in the article, he's like, I guess Siege Rhino really made an impact on me in the last Pro Tour, because ever since I've just been playing some version of Abzan.
Yeah.
But
you can't beat the Rhino, ride the Rhino.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It was neat. It was like four copies each of Siege Rhino, Deathmist Raptor, Den Protector, Corsair Crucifix, then like three Sylvan Caryatids, three Elspeths, four Abzan Charm, two Heroes Downfall, two Mastery of the Unseen, and a Crux of Fate, I believe, and four Thoughtseize. Which was super sweet. I was like, oh, Master of the Unseen seems really good. I was expecting a lot of, like, mid-rangey, sort of grindy and some control-y kind of crap. And I just got run over by a couple red decks, and it was terrible. Actually, the first match I played was against... what was it? It was, like, Teamer Collected Company.
Oh, I love that deck.
Was it four color collected company or the strictly Teamer?
I only saw Teamer. Okay. I mean, there might have been more in there. But and one of the things that I noticed about the Abzan Megamorph in this match especially, which makes me be a little hesitant about the deck. I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's kind of neat, but you give up a... One of the reasons I was excited to play it is because it's not a bunch of Heroes Downfalls that are dead against control decks. And I felt like I was playing against control decks a lot, and I just, you know, it sucks when you just draw, like, three Bile Blights and two Heroes Downfalls. And you're like, I can't, like, win this stupid game now. but giving up all those removal spells, you give up a lot of game against just random, slightly assertive mid-rangey decks. Especially the red-based ones, with cards like Thunderbreak Regent and Stormbath Dragon, like, you're really going to kill these cards, and, like, you know, Goblin Rabble Master. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people have kind of... Goblin Rabble Master was starting to get a lot worse because people were just, like, loading up on Bile Blights and...
Raptors.
Ultimate Prices, and... Yeah, I guess I just didn't see a Raptor in that match. I mean, I did... Game 1 was kind of close. He did just kind of, like, run me over, though, and... game 2, I kept a risky hand and then lost. And then I just played two red decks where they just got ran over. And the third match, which I didn't even need to play, I was just like, well, screw it. I know I'm not going to make top 8. Maybe I'll just play a few more matches and, you know, kind of get a feel for the deck. And played against this guy. Lost game 1. He ran me over. Game 2... So my sideboard plan was basically, like, three Drowned in Sorrow and three Duress were, like, the major contenders there.
That you were going to bring against a red deck?
Yeah. Duress has been really great, and I like it because it pulls double duty against the control decks.
Are you also playing Thoughtseize, too? Or
no, I take out the Thoughtseizes. Yeah. And Master of the Unseen was actually super awkward, and... I think after playing the deck, I'm going to take... I'd rather have Master of the Unseen in the sideboard. But Getting that against the red deck is just like, it takes too long for it to do anything. You don't have that many creatures. I mean, you have like more than you typically would, but it's still like,
you spend like 3 or 4 turns just to get your first like flip over. You gain like 3 life, and they're like, I targets command you, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, so he. So I draw my opening hand.
Yeah.
I've got Drown in Sorrow and Duress in it, and then 2 lands and a carry it. I'm like, all right, this is great.
Yeah.
I can't lose this no matter what. And so I Duress him. I see his hand. It's all burn and dragon fodder. And I'm like, get rid of that dragon fodder. And then if you play anything else, I'll just drown it away. And so, you know, I get my thing going. I get really tricksy. I like morph a Deathmist Raptor. He kills it. And I'm like, haha, it's a Deathmist Raptor. And then I, you know, play a Den Protector and flip it up and get my Duress back and get my Deathmist Raptor into play. I'm just like going off, like kicking the crap out of him. I've got a Courser Krufix in play. And at one point, and he's like not playing any creatures, and I still have this drown up. I'm like, I can just drown crap if it gets out of control.
Yeah.
And I play a land off the top of my library from the Courser. I'm getting a little mana screwed, but I'm like so far ahead, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And he Atarkus commands me to prevent the life gain. I'm already at 21.
He Atarkus commands you choosing prevent the life gain off of you gaining 1 life.
Yeah,
off
1
your
life.
Leg.
And he's like take 3 instead. I'm like, wow, that's desperate. And then he just plays 7 burn spells and kills me for 21 with burn spells. He just stokes me 3 times.
Wait.
Another Atarka's command and a lightning strike makes exactly 21.
And you're like, swinging at him and
yeah,
you can't
just
race him?
Empty board. Just empty board except for like Courser Krufix. He like finds the time to roast my Courser while he's just and he's like like getting mana flooded, you know? He's got like 5 or 6 lands in play in this 21 land deck and he just burns me out. I was like, how did this happen?
Off of So he target commands you down from 21
to 18,
and then stokes you three
times. So that's 12.
Yep, 12 damage.
18 minus 12 is 6, and then he just plays another target's command and a lightning strike. And I was like, "You really just did that?" He was like, "Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that happened."
The classic red player. I don't know.
Yeah, it was really. I just didn't know. I didn't think I was going to win that one. Yeah.
What's your life total?
Yeah.
What?
Well, he must have been. He must have. I mean, I don't know. I guess he got lucky with a couple of his top decks, but making that a play to Atarka's command off your 1 point life gain is. That's desperate.
No, that's genius. He got him exactly the 21.
It is genius, too.
I mean, if he had all those cards in his hand and like counted that up and knew he could do that.
You couldn't Duress him another time?
I think at one point I had the chance to Duress him again, but I was kind of playing loose because
what are you going to do?
And you know, I was just going to play basically that match.
Did you write down? Oh, this is true. This was like game 3. You're not like writing down his hand.
No, I was.
Oh, you were. Okay.
He just like went through it all. You know, like it. I was like, oh, he's got a roast, a stoke, and a. But you know, there were like 4 more draw steps between the Duress and
Jesus.
Me dying.
And you couldn't swing in for enough lethal. You got, I mean, I guess you're getting the Death Mist back and it's taking some time. So that's
like
a few turns.
I mean, he was out like, he was going to die like in another turn or 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was like, I was just like stunned, you know, I wasn't even pissed. And I was like, I guess that's what I get for like playing Siege Rhinos. Now I know how it feels.
Now you know
just
how it feels.
Stoked. I think he might have played all 4 of his stokes because I think he stoked one of my.
So he's killing some of your creatures too, is to stay alive.
Yeah,
and
while he's burning me out,
burning you out.
I was like,
that's insane draws.
He like stoked me. I'm like, yeah, super stoked, bro. Super stoked.
Jesus.
Yeah, let's get roasted. I turned into a total surfer bro in that match. Like, yeah, super stoked. I'm super stoked.
That was a lot more common when you had that Boros Burn deck. And you're like 16 or something, and they're like, end of turn, I'll Boros Charm you, and you're like, and Lightning Strike you, and you've got like a threat that's like, you know, like a star 3, and you're like, uh-oh.
That's that Atarka's command.
I know, it's been the new Boros Charm really kind of running around. in these decks.
No, it's what was Skullcrack.
Skullcrack. I mean, yeah, I guess it's the Skullcrack. I mean, it's funny. We're at that point where that burn deck in Standard has kind of gotten there, where it's enough redundancy, and Stoke the Flames is just a good card. Like, anytime it feels like there's in Standard where there's a quote-unquote cheap and reliable way of dealing 4 damage off a card, there can be a burn deck that can start to coalesce around. Like, I remember back in when you and Evan, you and I were playing, it was like... you had the one that you sacrificed a couple mountains, like lightning shock or something. You could. It costs like 6 mana, I think, or 4 mana. I know,
yeah,
somebody,
like,
at home
six
is
mana
screaming
and you could sacrifice
at
3
television
mountains
or screaming instead at the computer, or the deck that but or I remember when you and I were playing Flame Rift from Nemesis, which was 2 mana, both players take 4, and you would play like that, and you'd play like Raging Goblin.
No, it was each opponent takes 4, I think.
No, I think it was both players take 4.
That's like,
and
the
then
worst
there was Sonic.
Ever.
There was that one.
We're playing Raging Goblin.
Yeah, remember you would play Raging Goblin?
I just remember a lot of like Jackal Pups. And
you would play Jackal Pups, Raging Goblin,
like
Mog Fanatics.
Mog Fanatic, that's the one.
Now that one was sick when damage was on the stack, because you could like block and then sacrifice it and deal 1 damage to something with the the damage. You could 2-for-1 people with it. It's good. It's good. Anyway,
Gross. Anyways, I had a miserable time. But so we were looking at the Abzan Megamorph deck that just won Grand Prix
Shanghai.
Yeah,
Abzan Megamorph is running around, and I want to get to that format. But first, I want to throw in our Crack Sack and Berry.
Crack Sack and Berry? You mean the segment where we take 3 cards on the theme and we choose 1 to crack? We're happy to play it when we want to sack. We'll play it if we have to, and when we want to bury if it gets destroyed. We want regenerated.
Yeah, talking about that.
Tried to encase that into 1 long question.
Except for that, they're really not.
I got real cards. Sloppy. I admit it.
And this week we're going a little deep because it's, Modern Masters around the corner. Everybody's on that set. Nobody's going to be drafting cons, block
dragons.
That much. Dragons. And Fate Reforged. So we're in a little bit of a farewell mood. And so we thought we'd try something a little bit different with our Crack Sack of Berry.
Still, just a little bit different. Just a little bit longer. This week on Crack Sack and Berry. Or Berry. I'm never sure if it's and or. I feel like it should be or, but the old limerick is and. I guess it's not actually a limerick.
No, it's or. It's Crack, Sack, or Berry. It's 1 of the 3.
But we do all 3. We crack 1, we sack 1, and we bury the last 1. Fine. All right. I think we're going to evaluate the draft format from Cons of Tarkir block now that we're transitioning out of it. Oh, beautiful. I guess we're not fully transitioning out of it, but we are going into Modern Masters world until Origins comes out, basically.
A new format's out that's way sexier than, Dragons, Fate. And I was around for the last Modern Masters. When I was a kid, when I was around for the last Modern Masters, it was Dragons, Dragons Maze, Gatecrash, Return to Ravnica. It was
well, that was
Ravnica
miserable.
That was actually a bad draft format. Now
I actually really liked it. I found my little niche, my little strategy.
Yeah.
Everyone else was just bumbling about, couldn't figure out how to do it, and I just cleaned house. I was all about the Bronzebeak Moas and the Tristani Summoners. That was my jam. First picking a green monocolored bear, because that's the world you live in.
That was that whole cycle, I was X and O for the entire cycle.
Really?
I didn't lose a single match. That was
playing Modern Masters.
When you're playing the little gruel, remember?
Well, you were playing. That was Gatecrash.
Gatecrash.
You were playing
baby gruel. And I never lost a match that whole time.
Just drafted gruel every time.
You drafted like these 6 gruel cards. Green red cards. This like baby gruel deck.
It was so good. Seriously, all these people were doing all the super expensive like 3 color thing, and you're like, 1 drop, 2 drop, 2 drop, 2 1 drops.
Blood rush. You're dead.
Yep.
Yep. Ah, blood rush.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we're
to put it in prestige television terms, Magic players are Don Draper, and the Modern Masters is the new secretary.
There you go. And so there's something new around there's a format around the corner, and as we're kind of thinking about formats, we thought we'd do a Cracksacker Berry looking at the three draft structures in Khan's block. Because we have some nice memories around them, and we probably won't be playing them again because, you know, Vegas and Modern Masters and stuff.
Because YOLO.
Because YOLO.
But yo, Dill. You draft every week. All right, you do.
Please don't.
I'm the one making up words. Did we decide this at pho, that I'm the guy who makes up the words?
It was an acronym, and I just phonetically pronounced the acronym.
Okay.
That's where YOLO comes from. That's where yo do comes from.
Okay, so what are the three?
Okay, so we're going to do the three draft formats, which are triple cons. Which
KTK.
Which we did this fall. Super fun. Then Fate Reforged Cons,
FTK,
which was this winter, and then Dragons Fate Reforged,
DTK,
which was,
or DTF,
the last,
yeah baby, I guess they could have called it DTF, could they?
I would have loved them, hashtag DTF.
Wow, these guys really dodged the bullet. We were joking earlier about how they can't make it KKK,
for cons.
Because for obvious reasons, and it's so close. It so could have been DTF.
It really could have been. It could have been DTF. That would have been hilarious. Hashtag geez. DTF on Friday nights FNM at Wizards of the Cat. That would have been a tweet. Would have loved to have seen. Anyway, yeah. So
anybody else want to DTF?
Looking at these draft formats that we played and the strengths and weaknesses of them, and which one you would want to play again, which one. You know, if you had the packs lying around, you might give it a shot and you could get your friends together. And then which one would you, for the love of God, never want to play again? How about that?
Sure. Who wants to start? I'll do it.
Go.
Show
me what you got.
I'm going to crack triple cons because that shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
You know what, the Banana King isn't in there.
It's true. Banana King isn't in there.
True. Whatever. He's anyway, I loved it. I just loved how many different things you could do. You could draft a regular deck. You could draft a crazy deck. Playing with three colors is fun. Mm-hmm. Morphs are great. I just loved everything about it. I mean, I'll be happy to draft that again. I mean, it's got to be the best draft format I've played after, like, Cube.
I love me a Snowhorn Rider.
Oh, man.
Snowhorn Rider.
Blah, 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 blah.
Flip him up. He's got trample. So good. I miss flipping up an Obzon guide. I was just thinking about it the other day. I was like, oh, Obzon guide. You You my 4/4 with lifelink.
God, or like playing out all your 1/1 counter lords and then getting
Outlast.
Your
Merrick, like Nightblaze.
What's the cone of counters? Cone of counters. Yeah. Just swing for all the first strike, lifelink, flying.
Remember you
madness.
And I thought incremental growth was so-so? Yeah. Larry was like, no.
What were the other cards we were comparing it with?
Some other five drops in that format. I'm trying to remember.
Card was so good.
Neither of which we can even think of, which probably says a lot about
it. Says a lot about the power of incremental growth.
Oh, one was Aerostorm.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And
which I actually like a lot too.
Aerostorm killing people. Although I feel like I get that same thrill when I Sorkin's Rage people now. It's not that different. Five to the face. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do in Limited Magic.
It's
and
true.
Now you're dead.
Guess what? And Sorkin's Rage doesn't hurt your mana as much. Man, this is gonna kill me. What was that last spell?
I don't know, I have to look back at our show notes.
It was a double and three. Anyways, and I will sack the current one, DTF, Dragons. Dragons Fate. the set is always DTF, and I'm always G2G. GGG.
Except for when you're the high-end MMA comes down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then like, I'm super DTF, but... and I'll bury Fate Reforged because that was a nightmare.
No elaboration.
Fate Reforged was a nightmare. The crazy bombs being in Pack 1 just, like, screwed up every draft. Like, signals were always all over the place.
And the sieges, oh, my God.
It was just... I mean, I don't mind playing with crazy bombs that are hard to beat, but I just hated how it would just skew the actual draft portion.
Yep.
And it was just kind of a nightmare.
Larry, what do you got?
I got nothing to add.
See, I knew we were all going to agree. This is why I wanted to say these in the beginning, so we could see if there were differences, because I figured we were just all going to agree. Because let's face it, in the past year, Triple Cons has been insane. Like, what did you like about it, Larry?
I actually really liked the morph mechanic a lot in that set. Like,
yeah.
More than I thought that I would.
That's a good point.
And I actually think the morph mechanic now is a little bit more interesting, because I think the only thing that I didn't like about the morph mechanic back then was there wasn't enough of it. Like, you know, you basically, somebody played a morph and you're like, okay, so they're playing these colors and I assume it's going to be this. Now there's, you know, I mean, sure there's some rares and whatnot, but, you know, it felt like that they could have, like, pushed that harder to make more playable things in the specific colors. Like, you know,
interesting, because I felt like there was a lot of morphs in Triple Cons.
But they weren't, like, really all super playable, though, I don't think.
Yeah, some of them, I mean, honestly...
You're just talking about Limited, right?
Yes, just Limited, yeah.
There were a couple that weren't great, but, I mean...
There were the red ones that weren't great.
Yeah, it was really just
That was a big problem.
The first strike guy was really
the first strike guy, and then the 5-2 guys were kind of like meh.
The 5-2?
You know, the like Raiders or whatever, they were a 5-2. You could flip up for 4. They were like a way worse Atarka or Free.
But that one was actually interesting in that the red and 3, they flipped up for red and 3.
Oh.
Remember?
And I
yeah,
actually,
those are fine.
I actually thought they were interesting in that they morphed for 4 instead of 5. Yeah. And so you can kind of sometimes get people and they're like, I don't block.
That's really what I liked about them.
You're like, oh, I don't block, and you're like, boom.
I think the thing is, though, is that early in the format, it was a lot sneakier to hit with those guys. Later in the format, they would see a morph attack that was somewhat disadvantageous. And they would count your 4 mana, and they would know that it was the 4 mana. You know, it's like it got a little bit easier to read as it went along. But I mean, I think that the morph cycle was. I mean, I don't know. This is a good question. How do you evaluate the morph cycle versus the megamorph cycle in terms of quality of gameplay and skill intensity? Because I feel like the megamorph cycle is way more all over the place and not nearly as much of a factor in the Limited format is the way that the morphs are. Like, morphs, everybody was playing with. Megamorphs, like, maybe they flip up for 2 and they're not that good. Or, like, they're a rare and they're really good. Or maybe they flip up for, like, 1.5 million. And, like, you just never see it.
They're just...
I think
they're too expensive. That's the problem.
Well, no. There's some that cost, like, 2. So, like, Alabaster Kieran. No, sorry. What is it? Hoof?
Alabaster Hoof Kieran. I don't know.
Hoof something.
I know what
hoof,
you mean. Hoof, the one that flips up for 1 and a white.
Yeah,
and
flips
it's
up
a 3-2.
For 2 and it becomes a 3-2 like vigilance flyer.
Yeah. He's really good.
Yeah.
But he's not. That's not, is that Megamorph?
Yeah, that's
Megamorph. Yeah, it's Megamorph. That's what I'm saying. Looking at the
Megamorph. They're more all over the place. The Megamorphs are more
way
all
more
over
all
place.
Over the place.
I think the thing that.
But
I
on
wasn't,
the whole, more expensive.
I guess.
I think so.
The thing that has sort of caught me off guard a little bit is I think the way that I think about the Megamorphs, I just kind of have been thinking about them the same way I think about the morphs. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're drafting, you're like, oh, well, I can just play this on 3 as a 3-drop if I want. But I feel like there are two things that I feel set them apart a lot from the morphs. I feel like the morphs I would flip up a lot more often, generally. I feel like... Maybe it is because some of the Megamorph costs are really expensive. And I feel like the Megamorphs, more often than the Morphs, are correct to just play face up.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the cost. Like, I mean, the it's when you get right down to it, when you play cards, you play them for their efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 7 mana to like put, like, I feel like sometimes, like, and I know this is just design space and I've been there enough so I understand it, but I feel like maybe some of the expensive ones should be like put 2 counters on them or something. And I know they don't do that because, you know, it's just for design simplicity.
Have to do that.
Yeah. But they feel like they just should do more. Like, well, they like what do they do? They just put a counter on every dragon, right? That's all they do.
I think it's because they're just monocolored now. Like, when you have three-colored...
That's the other thing, is that you don't have multicolored morphs that you did. You don't have three-color morphs that require a more intense man investment to flip up. So my counter-argument would be not so much just that the morphs themselves, the megamorphs, sometimes are better to be played face-up. I think that the speed of the format around the morphs changed, and a lot of that is also due to your frequency of flipping them up. Because I feel like in cons... the format felt a little bit slower, a little less emphasis on curve, on the early curve, and it was a better return on your investment to play a 2-2 for 3 and then a couple turns later flip it up into something much more stronger, and you had the time to do that. Where I feel like in this one, in Dragon's Fate, like, there's a lot more pressure lower on the curve. There are a lot more bears running around. So playing, you know, 2-2s for 3 and then maybe flipping them up into your curve, or maybe not flipping them up because they're not going to routinely flip up on 5.
Yeah.
They may flip up on 7, is a lot riskier in this format. And thus,
I don't think it's riskier. I mean, you're still just playing a 3-3 for, or a 2-2 for 3.
Yeah.
I think the key is what you said, that with the morphs, you'd play it on 3 and have a reasonable expectation of flipping it up in the next 2 or 3 turns.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas... often I feel like I'll play a Megamorph and it'll just never flip up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to, like...
the entire game.
Yeah, I'll have to, like... and by the time I have enough mana to it... mana to do it... you know, I've... not... because I've played this sort of larger creature as a 2-2 for 3... you know, I don't have a lot of huge creatures at the top of my curve. Like, Segmented Critique or Marsh Hulk are the two cards I'm really thinking of... where they cost 6 to cast, which you can see as a reasonable... slam this on 6, and then it kind of stabilizes my board. And if I only have... I'll usually only have a couple cards like that, whereas I'll have a bunch of, like, 3 and 4 drops and whatever. So now I can't even really, like, play my bigger creature, because I've played it as a 2-2 already.
And now
I have to, like, double block with something.
Mm-hmm.
Or... I don't know. It's also... it's harder to gain some amount of tempo from it. From megamorphing these creatures.
And I think that's what I'm trying to get at, too, is that also the tempo swings from the morphs. It was just like a different tempo game in cons. Like, when you morphed up that Snowhorn Rider, it would often be, at 5, clearly the biggest and best thing on the battlefield. And so all the tempo you lost through the paying 8 mana over 2 turns in the investment, you made up for in 1 turn. You got some virtual card advantage because you didn't have to play a card that turn.
How much did it cost to flip up a Woolly Loxodon? Like 6?
6.
Yeah.
And that was like,
I mean,
huge.
Well, oh, and see,
Woolly Loxodon was awesome.
And that's actually the thing is, so if you look at that card was actually feared, right?
Oh, by the end of the format, I was first picking that card out of like pack 3.
And that's the big difference of the Megamorphs is that they're 7s.
There's 7.
And that's like at least 2 turns more.
You're right.
Sometimes 3,
mm-hmm.
which in a lot of worlds is just the end of the game.
And combined with a format that is
faster.
It's got better removal. It's got more, like, in triple cons, you might play a deck with 1 or 2 drops. Like, you wouldn't play, like, maybe you'd have a Jeskai Elder. Maybe, like, the good 2 drops roll at uncommon. You might have a 2-1 that if it dies, it gains you 2 life, or you'd have these vanilla 2-1s running around, but you didn't play 10 bears in that format.
Yeah, and now we have like Flatten, which is, you know, cheaper than the alternative. We have Delson Gloom, we have Twin Bolt.
Well, and the other thing is that those expensive Megamorphs, they're so boring. They literally are just boring.
I mean, the common ones.
You are not a Timmy.
You are not. I give them some credit because a lot of them, they tried. I feel like they did try to attach a lot of more spells to the morphs or the megamorph cycle. That there was a lot more like this flips up and you get a card back from your graveyard or all.
That's
your,
great. That's
well, exactly. All the rare creatures though.
Yeah. I mean, that was a common. The Lore Master is a common. Like,
yeah,
I guess
a million mana.
Ojutai Interceptors is not. Yeah, there's not as many of those, I guess, as I'm
thinking.
That's
actually something I kind of want to think about. Like the,
they gave you more of those at rare, I guess.
Like the cheaper cards to flip up, the Ojutai Interceptors, and I think it's Fleet Hoof Kirin. That's what I'm going to guess. And The shield bearers.
Yeah, the green ones that I just...
Cost four to flip up, and it's Salt Road.
There's Patrol. Also
Ambushers, I think it's...
Oh, yeah, Ambushers.
Yeah, and that...
What
that
are some of the other cheaper ones?
To flip up.
The skeleton.
There's a Tarka Freet, which costs three.
Tarky Freet.
Which is probably maybe the best of some of the cheaper ones. Like, Ojutai Interceptor is pretty good, too.
There's but, that Morang River
the
skeleton
thing is,
or something.
They always made sure that they flipped up and that they still followed the rule of being able to trade with a 2-2. And I think that, I don't know. I feel like that, keeping to that rule, but then also adjusting the mechanic and adjusting the costs on all these things, made the Megamorph, I think, feel underwhelming.
I'm not a fan of the design. So that whole dragon Megamorph thing is like, oh, so I spend this mana, and the special ability across the board is that all my dragons get plus one, plus one.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like, you know, maybe
that's pretty bad.
Maybe they could have picked one of them to be like...
What irks me is that they're uncommon. And you look at the uncommon dragon cycle in Fate Reforged, and like they all have the dies trigger or something like that, or they all have these triggers that happen, and those are all way more interesting at six mana, fours.
And
you couldn't have done that at uncommon again with your Megamorph cycle?
Exactly, and I don't think that like it has to be like a super broken ability.
No, just like the black one is like minus two, and the red one's like deal two damage. Or
exactly, or you know, the white one could be gain life.
Yeah, gain four life or something.
Or like when you flip it up, target creature gains protection from the color of your choice. I mean, there's so many like...
Target opponent Clevin. Sucks a dick.
Anyways.
Is that the black one?
I think that's an anti-league card.
That's the black one.
All anti, two dicks.
I see what you're saying. And what about some of the other mechanics that we saw? I mean, exploit, whoa.
Awesome.
It's good.
Awesome. They pushed the pedal to the metal. That was maybe the best one that came out of Dragons. What about Bolster versus Outlast? I kind of liked Outlast to some extent.
Bolster seems more powerful because it's easier to to make it
happen.
The
Outlast cards were just better, though.
But the Outlast cards were better. Like, I mean,
having the 1-1 Counterlords really did a lot.
That was the thing. Is the Counterlords were huge.
You don't get a lot of, like... great stuff from having
counters. The other thing that was really good about that whole thing, like we were kind of just talking about, like Kona counters, like you could have these scenarios where you're like, ah, oh, fuck, like I'm just like done, right? And then you're like, draw this,
and
now you're like, oh, look, all my guys like are flying Death Touch and Lifelink.
Like, oh, I've had to face down a board of like five creatures that all have First Strike and Death Touch. You don't win that game.
Yeah,
that's the feels the best. Or Obs on Falconer. I love that card. You're like, now my team flies. And
oh my
kills
god!
You.
I remember I played a game against Angel where I was one turn away from getting rid of his. He had a couple of those the 06s that you can tap to like have an opponent lose a life. Archer's Parapet.
Yeah,
Parapets.
And I was like, all right, I finally have a thing lined up. I'm going to be able to get rid of them. They've been holding me back forever. And he also just had, like, a Murek Nightblade on the board. And he somehow, like, got a bunch of counters on everything. And
oh, he got the counters on that thing, making them 1/6s, right?
Yeah, making them 1/6s. I was like, well, shit, I can't kill them now. Now they have Death Touch. And then he played, like, the 2-1 that gives them all First Strike. I'm like...
So basically, there were a bunch of Death Touch
they
turtles.
Oh god! Well, that was
no. They were parapets.
No. But they became 1/6s. Right?
Yeah, they became the,
so they're death
first strike
turtles.
Death Touch turtles. That pinging for one. Those are so good. But like that was your 2-drop in cons. It was like an 0/5, and you love that card. You played a ton out of it. Like
I drafted the shit out of that.
It
card.
Was good. You
the card is good.
If your opponent got two of those out, you were like, uh oh, they might close this game out real quick. Like the format. Was slow enough that you could get pinged to death.
Although again, I mean that's sort of a color restriction. You know, if you're not in black as well, then
yes,
it's not going to be good.
That was the other thing, though, is that
although you had a
color restriction,
every chance of being in black,
you could
green.
Splash four colors. I mean, how many four color decks did you play in triple cons?
How many
when,
different versions?
When
of
didn't
a,
I?
Yeah,
I mean, like how many different versions of a three color pair did you play?
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like I played a different version of a three color pair, like.
Yeah, like
you know, like
every
I played
week.
Obs on like every time it was a little bit different, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this one is base white. This one is base green.
Yeah, it was really great, and that was a very interesting draft format. Definitely took a hit with Fate. I think that the rares in Fate were super powerful, and I hope that Wizards learned something a little bit from Fate Reforged, because I think that they are trying to gun a little bit in this direction, or steer a little bit in this direction, where your uncommons and your rares feel like rares, and that they're big, powerful cards that really push you in a direction. I think that they realize that helps newer drafters a little bit. It helps. I think they view that if your best cards are commons, that's a much more spikier format that rewards people who are like better adversed at drafting and can read a format a lot better and figure out that this one common is really, you know, that these commons are better. And I think that they're pushing a little bit in the rares, but I think they've pushed it too far in Fate.
Yeah, although without Fate Reforged, I never would have been able to play a limited deck with three Dog Hatars and a Hero's Blade. So
that's true.
I should really thank Wizards for that one.
Yeah, that pre-release was
the best.
That must have been
ever
the best ever. Pre-release. I mean, it was interesting when you got into Sealed, where you could, like, you know, put a lot of these things together.
No, it was a nightmare when we got into Sealed, because everyone had fucking Citadel Siege.
That's true. Oh, man. In GP San Jose, I faced Citadel Siege on turn 4, and it is probably the biggest groan of the format was just Citadel Siege turn 4. And he's like, now my Typhoid Rat's a 3-3. And I'm just like,
go.
Okay.
I have these block. Lotus Eye Mystic. And then he's like, now it's a 5-5. And now my other guess. Oh, my God. That card was so insane.
I faced Ugin twice.
That's true. You got beat by Ugin, so I'm not complaining that much.
I am. That sucked.
I feel like Dragons, Fate felt much more like a brass tacks limited format. Much more emphasis on the curve, much more speed. What do we think? I'm going to go back just to these mechanics a little bit, though. Rebound versus Prowess. Prowess is way better.
I like Prowess.
Prowess is a lot of fun.
Rebound's a lot harder to make happen.
Rebound felt very duddy.
It's really all in.
It felt...
The strategy that it likes is really all in.
Yeah. And
you don't... You know, it's all like combat tricks and like...
Wizards is in
they
this...
They see it coming.
Is it's... in this peculiar spot where creatures are really good and they still want to make spells that can compete a little bit. And so they have to figure out how you can get, like, advantage off of your spells, like Flashback or Rebound or Delve was a really good version of this, which I think probably is the hallmark. Like, if Morph is the hallmark limited mechanic of the format, Delve is the hallmark constructed format.
Although I do have to say...
Or constructed mechanic of the format.
There you go.
That's that sentence.
Wow.
Rebound is super sweet when you have a bunch of prowess creatures.
Yeah, and they didn't
or
give
myth
you...
realized. Oh my god, my GBT deck had myth realized.
Really,
was like the games that I won were awesome.
Like not the week that we just had, but the previous week, that one guy who played the myth realized just wrecked you on levels that I've not seen you wrecked.
Me?
Yeah, that guy who was playing Artful Maneuver and like he had like Ojutai summons and all that stuff, and he had the myth.
When was this?
You were playing at like the second table in, and the guy had the myth realized deck.
FNM 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, FNM 2 weeks ago.
Guys, I don't even remember yesterday.
Yeah, but Rebound felt like you had to work for it though. You had to have a myth realized. You had to have a critical mass of prowess creature.
Yeah, that's the thing. It replaced the mechanic that it works the best with.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you get a couple of prowess creatures in.
If you don't have
Fate, but...
eight Lotus Eye Mystics, like Lotus Eye Mystics is really the only prowess creature that you frankly want. Like Jeskai.
No, that's...
Sorry, Lotus Eye... Lotus Path to Djinn. Yeah. And if you get the Misfire Adepts, those are like the real payoff.
Yeah, and there's... is it Ojutai Student? What's the 4-mana 2/4 that gains 2 life when you cast
That's right, yeah.
So, it's but that's like...
Really wanted you to work for it. How about Dash versus... This is a good one. Dash versus Raid.
I like Raid more.
I like Dash more. I felt like Dash was a... really unique Dash, mechanic for
Dash is
aggressive.
Easier, Dash is easier to quote-unquote abuse, I think. Like it
has not easier to play.
Not easier to play, but it just
Raid was like just turn them sideways, you'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's really easy to play.
I think for me, it goes back to the cards that had Raid were a lot better than the cards that had Dash.
Yes,
other than like Goblin Heel Cutter.
Yes, all the
I'm like
the Raid
pretty
stuff.
Sure.
The Raid stuff was pretty good.
Outside of like the rares, maybe.
The other thing is that like you know
yeah what were the, we, what was really the I mean you have the Mardu Heart Piercer
yeah
that was good.
You had
like the Kolaghan aspirants, but that was like okay
because aspirants
three, two.
Is the
it become the it was the 2-1 two. That would become 3-2 that couldn't be blocked
the,
by
the Mardu Horde Chief. Got the Bellowing Saddle Brute.
You're right. I'm forgetting the black ones. Yeah, the Saddle Brute was
the thing. Is the thing is that those ones you're like oh so let me see if I get this right. I have to attack you. Which I'm supposed to do anyhow to get this special cool ability that happens.
I mean, both those, you know, both these abilities just kind of tell you how to play them, so, which is like, which is nice.
The Raid I think is more powerful. I actually find the Dash a little bit easier to implement.
I don't know. I feel like the Dash gives you a little more decisions. Like I feel like it's a more there's more play to the mechanic.
Yeah.
But I just like the cards. I liked the Raid cards. I feel like just on the whole, we're more powerful and just.
What I liked about Dash is that,
sweet.
And this may be so. It's interesting that we talk about these two command kicks because I've tested both in my cube, and I think I've fallen on the side that I like playing. So I had like three Raid cards I would play, and then I had three Dash cards that I'd play, and I fell on playing the Dash cards because what I really like about it is that it almost is a way of like giving aggressive decks a certain form of like. Card advantage, like they get a tempo out of it, but the fact is like at the end of your turn your cards are sitting in your hand where they're a bit more protected, you know, from like a control deck's ability to interact and deal with them. So you get this kind of like weird virtual card advantage where you're on your turn able to deploy threats that matter to the board, but then draw those cards again kind of at the beginning of your next turn.
Yeah,
which is kind of like really bizarre, but like it gives like these red decks this play where they don't have to expend their entire hand onto the board.
It's like a weird form of reach too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're really interesting. Like I feel like the mechanic is more interesting. I just liked the I feel like you know, my opinion of these mechanics are so colored by the sets they're in. I mean like Raid was just so much fun in cons.
Yeah.
And Dash is like I've never gotten, like, a Dash deck, but I've gotten, like, a very Raid-heavy, like, Warriors deck that
yeah.
was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean...
You got to commit to that Dash, though.
I think I've had that Dash
all
deck.
The Dash cards are so
I've played...
Bad.
I love that Heel Cutter. Except that Heel Cutter is... On Friday, like, there was a game where literally he was at a low enough life and had board presence that my only outs in my deck were top-decking Sarkhan's Rage and hitting him in the face with it. Or top decking Heel Cutter, which I did. And I was like, top deck Heel Cutter. I was like, oh, this isn't Sarkhan's Rage. I think I'm going to. And then I did the math and I was like, oh, no, I win.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, no, I dashed this out. I can't block. I swing for five. I love that card so much. So speaking of the Black White Warriors deck, just
wait,
real
what
quick.
Else we got? I feel like we have some other mechanics.
Morph versus Megamorph. Morph, we've sided on. Prowess versus. Rebound, we've sided on Prowess. Raid versus Dash, we've sided on Raid, 2-1. Bolster versus Outlast, we've sided on
Outlast,
just mostly because of Counterlords.
We didn't really talk about Delve versus Exploit.
Delve versus Exploit, both busted.
Both amazing.
Both amazing. They knocked Blue-Black out of the park both times.
Which one do you like more?
Both.
In Limited, if you had to choose one.
I like Exploit better, but I think Delve is more powerful.
I agree. I think, I totally agree. Exploit, I mean, I'm all about how much sort of play, quote, in quotes, mm-hmm. a thing gives you. Like, the more things you can do with the thing, the better a mechanic, basically, I kind of think it is. And you can just do a lot more with Exploit than you can with Delve. I mean, Delve mm-hmm. just makes cards cheaper. But Delve
powerful,
is awesome.
Powerful cards cheaper.
definitely
really
more powerful.
Good cards cheaper.
Man,
Gurmag Angler,
oh. Ancestral Recall, you know, Dig Through Time, Tassiger. So good. I play both in my queue because I love both
mechanics.
Dig
Through Time and Treasure Cruise are only restricted in Vintage.
Yeah,
they're only restricted.
Let's just remember, this is a set where we saw a common get banned.
Straight up banned. And then another card get banned because it's kind of the same. Because it's kind of similar to it. Like, well...
We're not even going to take a chance with this thing. Just fucking, you're out the door, buddy.
I have to say one terrible unforeseen consequence of this whole banning of Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time in Modern is when I try to try to organize my cards on Magic Online and I sort them by Modern, it takes those two out. And when I'm trying to just select all the cards I have from like the past couple sets to try to sell them to bots, those ones will disappear. So I have to do Modern and Standard separately to add them to trade binders. It's really obnoxious.
Wow.
If I have any Dig Through or Treasure Cruises lying around, it's a bummer.
That's interesting.
MTG problems, bro.
MTG problems.
Moto problems, actually.
Second world game design.
Mid-go problems. The one we haven't done Third is world. Ferocious versus Formidable.
There, yeah.
Honestly, I have to say that Formidable was way easier to get, felt like, than Ferocious.
Yeah,
although,
I think so.
Some of the Ferocious triggers were better than the Formidable triggers. I don't know.
The thing I think it makes the Formidable more powerful is that a lot of those requirements is once you satisfy it, it can't be removed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, a lot of them are, like, when they're attacking or whatever, right? And it's, like, once they declare it, then they get it. And the Ferocious, you could lose Ferocious because it checked before and after.
Yeah.
So I think that...
Well, they both kind of had...
They both had some drawbacks there. I think the big thing for me was sometimes...
They both had some that had intervening if clauses and some that didn't. But I do think Formidable had less.
Formidable was just easier to get to because...
Playing dudes.
Often it was tacked to bigger guys. And, yeah, it was playing... It wasn't having a specific dude. It was just having enough guys. And I think that the Ferocious, sometimes your four-power creature would just get killed two turns in a row because it's your best creature, and they're going to use their removal on it two turns in a row, and you would get burned with the rest of your cards not being able to trigger. Whereas with the Formidable, it's like you could have four 2/2s out, and you're good.
Yeah, like, let's see. The Abzan guide, really bad. I'll just kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. I also, like, they're also, I feel like a lot of Ferocious... add-ons to things were kind of just like
their
weird
triggers.
Like okay gravy. Like I'm thinking of like Forced Away. A lot of like you'll loot if you got a four. Like,
I think because they had to put it on like less specific red green cards.
They had to put it on blue cards.
Yeah, the blue cards. So it's like kind of weird.
You're gonna have blue cards like care about power, which then you get some.
Well, no, you
tricksy.
Had like Wild Slash.
Yeah.
I mean, that felt like it was totally just like...
I don't even know what it does.
They were just like, let's...
What does it do?
Can't be prevented.
Yeah, I don't care.
Exactly. That's the whole point. It's like, it felt like... To me, it felt like if you had it, maybe it should have done like, four damage to a creature instead.
Yeah.
What was the best Ferocious card? Like, Tamer Battle Rage?
The fight?
Bear Fight?
That was probably the best. What was really good was the green can't block anything. The lure.
Roar of the Challenge. Yes.
That card was really good.
Yeah, it was like a lure on your guy, but then if you had the Ferocious trigger, it prevented all damage to the guy that you lured.
Yeah.
So it would just like eat their team.
Yeah.
Or their best creature that had to be blocked by it. It was a little marginal.
I felt like that was...
I'm trying to think what else.
Only sometimes good. I mean, Winds of Qalsima. Like sometimes
Winds of Qalsima is probably a really good one.
I don't know. That one was very... The floor is low.
I'm trying to think of what the Ferocious cards I'm playing in the queue. I'm playing the Bear Punch. I'm playing Right Into Being. Or no, not Right Into Being.
Aerostorm you got?
No, that's Raid.
Oh.
What's the one that See the Unwritten. See the Unwritten Ferocious Trigger.
Yeah.
But that's like mythic, so what are you gonna And there's one
you
more.
You get like
playing.
An extra thing or
yep.
You get two creatures.
You get two
off
dudes.
The top eight rather than one.
Yeah, I think I like Formidable more. I mean, just and this is another one where like I think the creatures that it had We're just better.
That's
like
the thing is that the
having a 3/2, you can regenerate if you've got formidable, which helps protect your formidable.
Was and better then, than having a 4/3.
Yeah, and a target beastmaster you can give them +4/+4. It's
sweet. Oh, the one that gets ferocious trigger that I have in the cube is Heir of the Wilds. It comes at 3/3.
Heir of the Wilds. Yeah, it's only okay.
It's a 2/2 death toucher. Really, is what it is. They can sometimes run over another 2/2 in combat.
Usually, if you just have that ferocious trade for their Snowhorn Rider or whatever the hell.
Yeah, that's what I always did. I jump in the way.
Anyway,
man, hold off that woolly Loxodon forever.
What you needed. But yeah, that was good. It was a fun block. Honestly, like I think it was. Could say it was better than the Theros block, right?
Yeah, I think I liked it a lot more.
I liked it a lot more. Like, triple Theros got real repetitive after a while. Like, Ordeals sucked.
I think I liked the all three sets together, the last Theros draft situation.
Yeah, last Theros.
I think I liked
block
that.
Block draft was good.
I liked that more than Dragons or Fairforged draft.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I feel like in this format, the way that it was released, in the other formats, like Return to Ravnica and Theros, you felt like you built to the end, and then at the end you had like the culmination of this whole block. And this one, it feels like the culmination of the block came out in the first 4 months, and then you got like a bad version of it, and then something completely different.
Yeah. It was something completely different.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting how, too, also it went 3-2-1-1-2.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
well, like, that was the, like their whole like time travel thing that we'll have the one that bridges the two sets, and that'll be, you know, the big thing.
I actually like the theme a lot. Not that it's like a big deal to me.
Yeah,
but
yeah, the Vorthos stuff was super cool.
Yeah,
we were just looking at those naturalized pictures.
Yeah,
we realized that the dragons of Tarkir naturalized is the rotting collateral damage cannon.
Whoa! I realized. Look, I called the cannon.
I like to think this is a parallel thought. And then the Khans of Tarkir naturalizes a dragon skull.
Yeah. Which I never really got. Like, are the dragons metal? What's the deal with that?
No, they're dead.
Yeah, but doesn't naturalize? I don't know.
Dead stuff decays, Cole.
Okay.
And then the bones kind of stick around for a while.
I guess we're going to get all our next fetches with return, Battle for Zendikar. I'm psyched about that.
Battle for Zendikar.
That was bad. I mean, we got Magic Origins between that. And before that, we've got Modern Masters 2015, which is coming out this Friday. And then we've got
Shazam.
Vegas in 1 week.
Double Shazam.
Oh, man.
So excited.
Let's all just say a little prayer. Hope we can just open some expensive cards and then.
I don't want expensive cards. I just want good cards.
That's you guys. I'm excusing myself from the MMA 2015. it's too expensive for me.
MMA just makes me feel like I'm doing Ultimate Fighting.
There's going to be 7,000 Ultimate Fighters sitting in chairs playing
Ultimate
Magic.
Magic.
Ultimate Wizards. We'll be there. We've got business cards. I've got lands to sign.
We've got
my cube to draft. Maybe we'll buy a box of cons if we want to revisit it.
We have box of Dragon's Maze.
We can do our own hybrid Dragon's Maze cons format. I'm telling you, it might actually
Wacky
work.
Drafts. Man, I definitely got to do a Chaos draft. After that last Chaos draft we did,
that's
I'd
true.
So psyched to do
that
a Chaos
would be a
draft.
Lot of fun to do there. Those events we might have to pre-register for because there's going to be a lot of people there. And we'll be there. I'll be running around with the tape recorder. We're going to figure out our MMA 2015 Crack Sack of Barry. And if you want to weigh in, I'll be there with the recorder on the floor. You find me. Give me your pick order.
I wish we had hats or signs or something.
We just
have business cards.
I think our next podcast will be there. You won't hear from us for like 10 days. Because we're going to go there. We're going to record a podcast. Then we're going to come back on Monday. And then we'll be getting a podcast up. So there's going to be a little of a gap. But the next episode, this episode, and then as soon as we're ready with the next one, it's going to go up on our Facebook page. That's right. Wizards of the Cast has a Facebook page. You can like it.
A community center.
You can put posts up there. It's a great way.
It's a community center. There's kickball matches and townwide potlucks.
We do sex ed education there. It's great. It's all good.
Some of the kids built a skate ramp in the basketball court.
We raised some money for it.
They
it's
come
awesome.
After school with their skateboards.
You should like
community
it.
Community center.
You should like it. You should, if you use Facebook to track our episode releases, everything will be going up there. It'll also link to our YouTube page, where we're also putting
We
have a YouTube page now. Give us a subscribe. Give us a comment. Help us boost our search results up a little
Tell
bit further.
Us you like us. You can rate us on iTunes. That'd be cool.
You can rate us on iTunes. If you find us off MTGcast, we also have our own RSS feed hosting site on Buzzsprout.
So you don't have to like pick through the chaff.
You can find all these links, including the links to our Twitter account, on the Facebook page. It's a great aggregate for all this information.
Yeah, I think we're going to kind of use it as a sort of hub to put out all of our...
Have you seen what the next reward is?
What? The next F&M promo?
No, the for the registration.
Oh, what?
Judge Foil Mana Crypt.
Jeez. I know if they get up to 10,000, they're putting up a Black Lotus.
Yep.
This is going to be huge.
So 68.81 right now.
Jeez, let me see.
68.81. That's awesome. I'm flying out on Wednesday. Larry, you're flying out.
Wednesday.
Right? Wednesday, too. Evan's coming Thursday. We're going to be there all weekend. We're excited. We want to meet you guys. Come and say hi to us. You can post to our Facebook page for
meetups.
Listen
for my nebbish voice.
Listen for Evan's nebbish voice.
I don't know if I used that word right.
You can also hit us up on Twitter if you're around there and you want to give us a shout out. We'll be checking our Twitter feeds all weekend. Evan, how do they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at my handle is @nobodyrly.
Great. Larry, how can they find you?
@chatfiend.
And I am @kcolef. We are all renting a suite together. We have our own
party
place.
Suite.
We have a party suite. I hear there's access to a pool, which really excites me.
Oh, my God.
I have to finish moving this week so I can go get just really loose and drunk. And we have the cube. We're going to draft the fuck out of the cube. I've been making all these last-minute updates. I can't wait to draft it and really playtest it with a gaggle of you guys there at the house. And
the Magic community has been slowly edging themselves to the final climax that will be Grand Prix Vegas.
Sweet.
They've just been slowly, you know, they don't want to go full. They don't want to, like... You know, just slowly rubbing it. they want to, you know, once the...
It is Vegas. I mean, it's like sex...
Sex stuff, yeah. Yeah, they're waiting for, like, the money shot to show up at the end of the... I guess Grand Prix Vegas... No. Modern Masters coming out will be with the money shot, and the Grand Prix Vegas is the actual...
Do you think there'll be like? You think there's going to be a huge influx of people like in the last week?
That was really gross. I'm sorry.
I bet there will be. I mean, there are going to be people there who are there who haven't even registered to play event like me, who are still going to be there. I mean, we're going to hit 10,000 people. Whether or not that's 10,000 people,
it's going to get sweaty
at the GP. I think we'll get close. Everybody's going. Everybody is going. And if you're listening and you're not going, we're going for you. You're going to hear from us. And when we get back, we're going to have a special. Long form episode. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, remember, there's 8,000 people going to the other two events. So that
could. There's another event the next week.
No. Modern Masters is being held in three cities across the world.
Yeah, but that's the world.
That's like, what I'm saying. So, but if
isn't
those
like
weren't
Europe and
in
Asia?
Japan.
Japan?
Yeah.
Asia.
And Japan.
I'm not that dumb.
And Japan actually sold out like. 2.5-3 months ago.
Isn't it Kyoto?
Chiba. And it sold out in like 48 hours.
Jeez.
So those people, if...
But you know, the Japanese are organized.
They would be here.
us Americans, we're not. We're going to be buying our plane tickets at the last minute. We're going to be showing up. We're going to be going to Sin City, drunk, loud, and boisterous. And
some blackjacks and pokers and drinks.
Man, I'm not even spending money on Modern Masters. What makes you think I'm going to spend money on actual gambling?
You can just watch us.
I will watch you guys.
Play some craps.
I'll be like, come on, play cube. Let's play
some
cube. You'll be like, later. I'll be like, fine, I'm going to go hang out by the pool and get drunk.
That's actually all I want to do.
That's right. I can't wait. And we'll see you guys there.
Yeah, email us if you want.
Wizardsofthecast@gmail.com. There you go.
Forgot that one.
We got them all. We got a lot now.
Did we do the Facebook page URL?
We did the Facebook page. We did the YouTube page. We did the Twitter handles. We did the MTGcast page. And we did finally the email.
Well, great. Then for Wizards of the Cast, my name is Evan Wardell.
I'm Larry Chatfield.
And I'm Cole Ferriello.
And thank you for listening.